Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Three's company, but four's a ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England are back in action. Scotland lost again. Wales and Ireland face off, and there was a win for Team 54. PTs
on the pod.
PTs on the pod.
Everybody now,
PTs on the pod.
BT's on the pod.
I'm back for two shorts and then I'm away again. Yay. Hello, how are you doing, everyone?
Good.
I'm Pete Donaldson and I'm here for comedic relief.
Can't wait for the emails.
Yeah.
The bonnet of bees.
Look, you were giving it the big one about how fun it was to hear Jim read out the emails, and I did listen.
I also got to get my sticky fingers on the buttons as well.
You made the buttons sticky and now they're rather unresponsive.
I got quite excited. What can I say?
If anything, we've made the problem worse.
Yeah. I've come back, someone's delivered me some trousers, so I'm wearing some new trousers, which is nice.
Lovely.
Thank you for that.
That's on your rider.
I was in Zimbabwe for a charity excursion with Practical Action, a great charity doing some great stuff in a part of the world that is ravaged by climate change.
Peter, so, what charity are you going to Japan with next week?
Booze.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah, well, no.
There we go. One that's what you get with Pete Donaldson, isn't it?
Boozy tours. That's what you're going with.
That is very likely to be the most entertaining part of this first section of the show because we've got to talk about the England game.
Well, yes.
just want to say, Pete, are you repeatedly going back to Japan in the hope that one day you'll remember one of these trips?
He won't.
Pete, I get him tattooed on my body like that film.
Oh, what's it called?
Memento.
Tattoo Memories.
Memento, that's it.
It's called Tattoo Memories.
It should have been. Well, now we've done more at the box office, wouldn't it?
It's called Squiggle Body Man.
Well, now you're back in England, Zimbabwe's loss is England's gain because Pete Donaldson is here and he's not there anymore.
Zimbabwe's loss is England's also loss.
Yes, exactly. Zimbabwe back on its feet, I hear.
More sadza for everyone else.
Yeah. Yes, England, of course, drew 0-0 with Croatia last week. They have the rather difficult task of trying to get a result in Spain this evening, which doesn't usually end very well for old England. I'd like to start on a more positive note, which you may or may not agree with this, of course, but it was quite the achievement of some England fans to sit on that hill near the stadium and manage to get a couple of their chants picked up on the television cameras during the game.
They even got a wave from Jordan Pickford.
Get the wave on.
There you go.
Jim, I'm disappointed you didn't come in with that.
No, so am I, mate.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, come on.
And I think that is important. I know a lot of sort of traditional media outlets have not really known. In fact, I think Alan Smith and whoever the commentator was on the game, they weren't sure whether they could praise that behaviour or not.
We can.
I am going to praise
we
it.
We can pick up where they...
Purely because people like Ben Chilwell, people like Jadon Sancho, people who are making debuts or at least their... Yeah, I think they both were making
early stages of their international careers.
I mean, it's great that at least some England fans saw it because they're going to have to have suffered, not suffer, maybe that's too strong, but labour under the ignominy that their debut was in front of no fans, which I think is an absolute disgrace. Yeah.
There were still stewards. We wondered about that, didn't we? And there were.
There were,
and there was a match day programme as well.
People got to get paid, Jim. Listen, if you're rotated in to do that shift, you're doing it.
Was there someone selling Bovril and all?
I was at Portsmouth 0, Gillingham 0. On New Year's Day 2001, right?
It just sounds like a euphemism for hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Purgatory, maybe.
I thought at that point that no football or anything that could be accepted as a football game could get to the level of disappointment that game took me to. Now, I will concede, slightly later in the season, we lost 4-1 at home to Leyton Orient, and that was worse. But at that point, I thought it doesn't get any worse than this. And the best thing I can say about this game, certainly for the first half, was it reminded me of that.
Did it?
It was awfully, awfully bad.
Yeah, but if someone had come along to you that day against Gillingham and said, "Don't worry, son, 7 years' time, you're going to lift the big trophy."
You know, it would have taken it,
Probably the same for England.
I just don't know how they're related.
What happens after that?
Yeah. Even though I'm not going to tell you what happens after that. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
Do you want the offer or not?
Of course, in 7 years' time, it wouldn't really work for England, but you get the point.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. England probably should have won, really, although it wasn't a particularly one-sided game. Croatia had their efforts and their chances and whatnot. But the one little positive for me, certainly, was that England, I think, had more possession, which... I know it's a funny old game and one can say we can't really too much into it and so on and so forth. But bearing in mind what happened not that long ago in the semi-final, England were...
This was the big one.
It's the real test.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I think Gareth Southgate's team talk before this game was, we've got them where we want them.
Yep.
False sense of security. We could grind that a 0-0 here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can't lose an extra time in this one. But yes, Jim, England played the 4-3-3, which we did suspect that they might.
Yeah.
It definitely gave them like better mobility, didn't it? The fullbacks could bomb on a little bit more and push higher up the field. I liked it.
Do you think Southgate's, it's like taking the stabilisers off a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we've learned how to play in a back three. I'm going to take one of you away.
Okay? Like musical chairs.
Yeah.
But Eric Dyer will be in the midfield just in case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't worry.
Eric Dyer, I thought, had a decent game. He was unlucky not to score as well. Mm-hmm. I've got my doubts. I might have mentioned it on this show before. I've got my doubts about Eric at the very highest level.
Yes.
You could probably make a decent argument to say that obviously the upper echelons of the club game are a higher standard than the international game.
Mm-hmm.
So international football is maybe slightly different, but I thought he did well. I thought he acquitted himself well in the three, and despite how bad the game was, and it was bad, I really can't stress that enough.
That's because of the lack of fans, though.
Partly to do with that, definitely played into it. I thought it was played at an appalling pace, though. The fans thing definitely seduces you into thinking this is a nothing game.
Yeah.
And it's good to have that reminder for the powers that be every so often that fans are even more important than everyone says they are. Because I wonder if that gets lost sometimes in the rarefied atmosphere of the decision making process at like UEFA and FIFA and stuff like that. So because fans are treated quite disdainfully, aren't they?
Good reminder, as you
say. Absolutely. Mm. But I did think the tempo was poor though, Marcus. I thought you know, England could have really forced the pace. I know they had more of the ball, but I thought that formation suited them, and actually there are other players that can come in and slot in there quite nicely.
Absolutely.
Of course, Jadon Sancho came on and looked quite bright.
Well, I was about to say, is that what Jadon Sancho was thinking when he came on? Was he thinking the pace is, I have to single-handedly try and up the pace of this whole affair?
Yeah, but and luckily I can.
Yeah. Well, and he gave it a good go.
At perhaps. A canter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, it was played at a very, very poor pace, and obviously the possession thing is great, as you say, but I think the thing that is perhaps a little bit of a concern for me is that England still look like they're most dangerous from set pieces. It looks like there are things about England's game that need to be improved on. But then
they carved out two...
Rashford's chance was... I mean, he had to take that very, very quickly. So, I mean, a lot of people were sort of fuming with him for that. But it was a snapshot, effectively, once he'd done the hard work.
He's quite right-footed, Marcus Rashford. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that first one, which was the worst one, fell on his left foot, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it became quite obvious that, oh, Jesus, he is actually quite one-footed.
I think when the second chance falls to him quite quickly after...
That was
third,
a good save, to be fair.
It was a very good save, but I hate to... This is the kind of thing that I would hate someone to say about me on a Saturday or Sunday morning, but it ultimately didn't end up in the back of the net, you know, and it was a great save, of course. But England, you know, going into the Spain game tonight, you would suspect that they would probably line up 4-3-3, wouldn't you? Because I think with a 3-5-2, Southgate was worried, you know, in the first game against Spain that the wing-backs get pushed back and actually you then have a back five and you don't have too much of an outlet.
Yeah.
And Kane, at the moment, there's still the talk, is he tired and whatnot? There's a lot of work to do.
Six games without a goal. Mm. Remember Alan Shearer coming in at Euro 96?
How many games did he go without?
It was a long time.
Francis Benali-esque.
Yeah.
Do you know...
Tony Hibbert-esque.
Do you remember like he went like nearly 300 matches for Southampton and he scored like really late on in his career instead of Southampton?
Yeah, everyone went mental about Tony Hibbert as well, but I think his goal came in a testimonial, which doesn't actually count. No,
and these players, John Jensen was one for us.
Oh, Jensen scored in the Euro final in 92.
That's right.
Jimmy Glass.
He took a long time to score. But he did make it count, though, didn't he?
Didn't score one after either.
He didn't. No. Des Walker, one goal in his whole professional career. Lovely one, roofed. Nice. Anyway, back to the chat.
The England point.
This is a chat.
About England against Spain. England aren't going to beat Spain playing the way they played against Croatia.
To be fair, you could have just stuck with England aren't going to beat Spain. Yeah.
England aren't going to beat Spain. No. No, but the point that Jim made there about set pieces is linked into the thing we started off with at the top of the chat, which is that, you know, the way you don't. It's rare, I think, for a team to be able to consistently score in open play, playing that slowly. Now, I understand maybe the Spain and Barcelona tiki-taka style from 08 to about 12, whatever it was, would perhaps belie that. But I still think the tiki-taka variation was like, you knock the ball about, you keep possession, you almost like pass teams to death, and then you have a really incisive fast ball being behind the fullback or whatever, and then you're in. England's, it's no coincidence.
Yeah, they're choosing to be slow. Yeah. And they can burst into life.
Exactly, but England aren't. And there's no coincidence that England rely heavily on set piece goals when they play at such a slow tempo.
Yeah.
Mm. And in a way, it doesn't matter what formation they play if they're not going to up the tempo and pass the ball quickly and move.
Well, I'll tell you something. There is an enormous opportunity for any young English player who can play a bit in the centre of the pitch. England are producing players. They've always produced players, you know, at a certain kind of level. But England are producing decent players, you know, when you think, okay, what about the left-back options? Obviously, Danny Rose was used a bit during the World Cup, but it was more of a fullback. And then Ben Chilwell comes through and you think, ah, he looks a player. Mm. And then you think, well, what about the wings? Sancho's there, you know, and centre-backs with Joe Gomez is coming through. You know, these players emerge. But in the centre of the pitch, as Southgate has often said, and any fan who's ever glanced at the England side over the years will know that they don't have a player that can really put their foot on the ball and dictate it or create. Whether that's a number 10, you know, further forward, or a deep-lying playmaker, or a kind of box-to-box midfielder, let's say, like, I don't know, off the top of my head, it's like a Patrick Vieira or something like that, or Roy Keane back in the day, who can kind of do that. England haven't really got that, so they have to kind of cobble together, you know, a respectable and not a bad midfield, but when you come against the elite, it's not quite there. If an England player can prove and show that they can play a bit, and so there is a gap in the side there to be taken. I mean, you know, it's perhaps fanciful to say somebody like a James Maddison or a Mason Mount or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And we're crying out for that player.
I think a lot of that position comes and that ability to do that within whatever position you're describing now. Mm. And I understand it can be a variety of positions. I think a lot of that comes with experience, though. And that's the problem. I think it's very, very hard for a player at international level in his early 20s or whatever, you know, generally speaking, to control the tempo of a game against a team like Croatia, who are World Cup finalists.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably a bit too early for some of those players you mentioned. I'm saying
going forward, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. Absolutely. But and that's going to lead me on to my next point, yep. Which is that just quickly, that I do think that Southgate's got, you know, fairly acceptable praise for bringing young players through, certainly in the squad, but he does still seem quite reluctant to play them in certain positions. Sterling always gets a game. Dyer or Henderson, or both, as we saw in Croatia, always get a game. And it's hard for those players to come in and maybe try and start to dictate the tempo of a team or of a game if they don't play consistently.
Sure. And it is that consistency, isn't it? It's like kind of, he's got like a... You know, when you're drawing the balls to the FA Cup, he's just got a lot of youth, like younger players, and he goes, I would put that one in for one game, for one game, for one game. I'd like just like to see a bit longer of a run.
Sure, I mean, but Southgate, though, when the World Cup comes along, you have to be a bit more pragmatic, you could say. I mean,
we're Trippier, not in the World Cup.
Yeah, not anymore. Well,
but Trippier was Jordan Pickford. Look how he changed up the goalkeeping situation.
He can't dictate the tempo of a game, though.
No.
I mean, can he dictate the tempo of a rave?
Yeah. I'll ask you one question.
Or does he just flick the switch, on it goes?
120 BPM.
Yeah. Did football come home or not?
Well, I thought it never went away.
Move him on then.
After Brexit, it will stay home.
No choice.
There will be a hard border between football and us.
There'll be no freedom. There'll be no freedom of football.
There'll be a hard border between us playing a game and possession of the football.
with Southgate, I mean, I think that there's chat, isn't there, that Harry Winks could come in.
Yeah, for the seedings suspended.
Yes, for the suspend, as you say, and Stones is. It's suspended, so Joe Gomez could come in. So there's a couple of youngsters. And Southgate did talk about building a future around some of these players.
Well, we did see Winks playing at a very high level before he picked up his injury. Mm-hmm. And Southgate said that he was impressed with Winks' performance against Barcelona.
He said that's where you learn in those games.
Yeah, I was at a game and I completely understand.
And what did you think of Winks' performance?
Well, I thought he did well positionally and did well in terms of his work rate in very, very difficult circumstances.
I was going to say, not the star on the night.
No. But he acquitted himself well, and it was a big... I mean, in a way, do you remember when Jack Wilshere had that game against Barcelona?
Yeah.
And he was able to really affect the game. Mm-hmm. It was a different type of night for Winks and Spurs that night, of course. But I wasn't unimpressed with him. And given that I was really impressed with Artur in the midfield for Barcelona, who was absolutely fantastic, it was hard to really for Winks to catch the eye just purely because Spurs didn't have a huge amount of the ball, it seemed to me anyway. But I like him as a player. I think he's good, and I think this is the right time to bring him back in because he's put his injury behind him and he's playing again.
I was telling Luke earlier on that I was watching the George Harrison Hall of Fame induction where Prince comes on with Jeff Lynne from ELO.
Let's just hear where he's going with it.
And also Tom Petty and George Harrison's son as well.
Then
Prince comes and knocks everyone's socks off with an amazing guitar solo, throws his guitar at the crowd. It's incredible. He's very much Jeff Lynne in this situation, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who, Harry Winks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Prince,
do you want to explain that to listeners who are under the age of 30?
And Prince is Leo Messi.
I was going going to say, Jim, are we hoping that perhaps tonight maybe Ross Barkley can be Prince?
I know you're an optimist, but I think you're really hitting the ceiling of
Prince,
that there.
Prince rarely passes sideways.
Yeah. and Barkley, and it's funny because in the middle of that Chelsea three, you've got Conte, you've got Jorginho, and you've got Barkley or Kovacic, and they played against each other in this game. Mm. Barkley, for me, looked the better player. Mm. So
but he wasn't given much praise. I think people seem to suggest perhaps it was a missed opportunity.
I thought he did okay.
Tough game.
It was a very tough game, Jim, for a number of for a number of factors, as we've said. Not least being, he hasn't played international football for a few years. He hasn't played that much football.
Yeah.
And he's coming in, lest we forget this is Croatia. I think the lack of fans and all, the very small stadium and the fans watching on the hill, you can be lured into thinking, this is like a
warm-up for Spain almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does seem to have been treated like that. I think the answer to that in future is actually more fans, but right on the touchline.
Is that right?
just to improve atmosphere around the ground.
More fans on the pitch, like at West Ham last
year. Yeah, or like the old FA Cups in England in the 20s or something.
Yeah, very much so.
Presumably, no one around the table here is holding out a huge amount of hope for England to get a result tonight.
Yeah, cheeky draw.
If the luck goes,
cheeky one all.
Well, yeah, I mean that's I think that's sort of the best we can hope for. Have you seen what Sergio Ramos said about Harry Kane?
Yeah, we've all seen that.
He's got La Liga abilities.
Yeah. No, it's not that. It's he can surprise you, but not me, as we have prepared for him.
He also said with a little wink to the camera, I like Harry Kane. He's got La Liga ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he kung fu kicked the camera right down the leg,
and then just punched Mo Salah. Yeah. He's not even involved.
All the while going, what's your problem?
Yeah. I like the way that the internet has decided that Harry Kane is Ramsay Bolton and Mo Salah is Reek. Like he's just carried him around wherever he goes, making him his man. So like they had a coming together once.
Do you mean Ramos? Yeah. Not Kane.
Oh yeah, Ramos, sorry, yeah. Shall I do that again? You heard that. I love the way the internet is deciding that Sergio Ramos is Ramsay Bolton.
Who's Ramsay Bolton?
Exactly. Marcus does not watch Game of Thrones.
No, and nor do I, by the sound of it. I don't watch football by the sound of it, either, so.
Yeah, well, Sergio
Who's
Ramos.
Hordol?
On the Barkley thing.
It's Barkley.
Do you think
it's definitely Harry Maguire?
Yeah. Do you think it'll start again? Because I think the only other option is James Madison, really, in that position. And
that'd be so ballsy. I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
God, talking James. Down Madison. There we go.
Yes. So,
what is that, Pete?
It's a song by Kirsten McCall, I believe.
Ah. Delightful.
Talking, and we're talking down Madison.
It's hard to see Madison getting involved, isn't it? This
I think so.
Tonight.
Exactly.
I
mean,
what about, I think you're more likely that the ace card might be Jadon Sancho, although I feel that would be quite unfair on him.
More of a wide player, though, isn't he, Sancho?
No, not in that position. I'm saying in general.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think England won't play in the formation that Madison plays for Leicester anyway.
No, but I think England will probably go with a 4-3-3, and I think actually it could be the same midfield because I think Southgate was pleased. He did say he was pleased with the performance.
Well, I mean, it won't be exactly the same because Henderson's out.
Of course, Winks come in for Henderson. Yeah. Right, you are, yeah. But I think we might see.
I'll get it right.
I will get it right. And so will the boys on the pitch. Yeah. Sergio Ramos said that he always savours a victory against England as they are the inventors of football. And he also said that because of because of this, to win against England is big news around the world. And I thought it can't be because it goes around the world. Oh, England have not big news.
Was he laughing?
I think so.
I was at an England Spain game at Wembley. I think England might have won it.
Well, was that the Scott Parker performance?
Might have, yeah. Yeah, do you remember that?
Oh, he was like Davy Crockett, the animo.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was incredible. So yeah, up yours, Ramos. We've still got that one in a friendly 6 years ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
But there we are. There we are. So good luck to England this evening. Oh, before we go to a break, sad news that Peter Brackley has died.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
A very much a voice of our youths.
I'd say so, yeah. A very big part of, obviously, Gazzetta Football Italia. Mm-hmm. A fantastic commentary voice and also a lot of strings to his bow, famously. Came in and did the voice of Greavesy, spitting image puppet, when Greavesy couldn't make something Greavesy that day or whatever. Huge part of it. Just his voice was a very emotive anchoring to your youth type thing with Gazzetta. So, yeah, very sad.
We used to use his audio a couple of times on the Football Ramble, probably about 7 years ago.
Did we?
Yeah, from the Pro Evo games, because he obviously voiced...
Of course. Yeah. That's another part of the childhood, yeah.
Pro Evo.
Sad news indeed. All right, after the break, we're going to be talking about the other home nations and maybe even the Republic of Ireland. See you in a moment.
Ooh.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Fans are shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Let's go straight over to Pete Donaldson and his army of one.
The Louis van Gaal of the podcast.
Because he's about to open those emails.
I am indeed about to open those emails. Got an email from Jack Macy. Hello, Jack. Or rather, Jake. I misspoke. And read and thought.
You're not doing the bonnet of bees anymore, no?
What do you mean?
The Nick Cage thing. Oh, not the bees, not the bees. I love that.
Well, I've got to read, because of our limited internet capabilities here in the Ramble Studio, I'm using the Playout iPad to read the emails off, and you well know that.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted to bring the listeners into this, because when I said that, you instinctively looked down for the iPad for the jingle, not remembering the iPad was already in your hand. Yeah.
Answer, get another iPad.
I think you should replace your hands with iPads.
Yeah.
And use your nose to touch them.
Well, I think so.
What's Macy saying?
Jack Macy, Jake Macy, whatever it is. Jay Macy's. He's an expat living in Houston and recently had an experience with an ex-Premier League footballer.
Ooh.
Whilst on my commute home from work, I was stuck at some lights while waiting. A follically challenged man strolled across the road who I recognised immediately. I need to broke into some going for gold action there. I was born. He looked identical to the man, the myth, the legend that is Philippe Senderos. I couldn't be sure, but I thought a telltale sign would probably be the typical footballer's legs. To clarify, I'm not usually a leg pervert, but I thought a professional athlete who had spent over 15 years training full-time would definitely have some meaty calves. Sadly, my heart sunk. This spindly-legged chap couldn't be the same man who must still be haunted by the nightmares of Didier Drogba and Co, and I drove on thinking nothing of it. The next day, I mentioned the experience to a colleague of mine who does some part-time work with Houston Dynamo. He confirmed that I had, in fact, spotted the mighty Philippe, and he is notorious in the squad for being a lazy trainer who regularly ducks out of leg day.
Right. Wow.
I know there's more to being a world-class centre-half than having muscular legs, but I'm sure this deficiency has not helped him across the years. All the best. Keep the good work. Jake.
It's like the opposite end of the spectrum to when Bob DiMello told us about John Hartson's calves.
That's right.
Oh, big old hams.
Yeah.
Big old hams.
They were so big, they made me feel sick.
Jamie Ball, I'm going to edit this one on the fly, so hang on to your hats.
Here we go.
Hold on to your butts. Enjoying the show. Newcastle fan. I enjoy Pete's rants about Mike Ashley. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks.
He hasn't said any of this. You've edited him in.
I thought I'd email in with a story of how me and my university housemate encountered Marlon Harewood when he was on loan at Newcastle back in 2010.
You should have edited that. You should have used the word university there.
What did I say?
University.
Yeah. That's actually what my university was called. It was a
Is it in Wales?
It was Unibuddybuddy.
Yeah. Get your degree by post.
Basically, we always used to bump into footballers on nights out, and I used to work at a bar when they all came. Kevin Nolan's tipple was Guinness. Nicky Butt loved a Corona, and Gutierrez was partial to a melon liqueur and Red Bull.
I can believe all that.
Yeah.
No problem.
What is a melon liqueur?
Was it called Midori? Midori. Green. Midori.
Green. Yeah. Green. That's green in Japanese, isn't it, Midori?
Is it really?
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry.
Why are you looking at me for confirmation?
Joey Barton was teetotal and only drank Red Bull, which I think might be worse.
Do the same thing to Barton.
Yeah. We were out in a bar called Madame Coos one night, and we saw all of the squad out. I was worshipping Charlotte, and Danny Simpson was getting the drinks in for our friend.
Is this you? What? Did this happen to you?
It sounds brilliant. It sounds like they had the best night ever. Marlon was also there, was chatting to mates and stuff. I'm editing this on the fly for some reason.
Is this based on a true story?
Nothing completely nefarious. I just think it's sensible if I edit it a little bit.
Is this your dream diary?
The night came to an end for me, and I headed home after drinking too many free drinks, and I left everyone else out. I must mention that it was at this point I went through a phrase just after Sir Bobby passed away, coming home, going to bed drunk, and wearing my Newcastle top. I was passed out drunk in my room, and I suddenly suddenly heard a lot of racket downstairs, opened the door, and there he was. Marlon Harewood was in a grimy student living room in Jesmond, surrounded by a load of lads. I quickly sobered up and stupidly said, "You're Marlon Harewood!" I'll never forget his response. "I know." I then asked for a photo, which he said no, for obvious reasons. And I asked if he wanted a game of FIFA. I think he was gutted. He was on the bench by default on the NUFC squad. We all sat and chewed the fat with him and chatted football. Then about 30 minutes, he realised he needed to leave and left the house. So there we go.
Well, it's a bit of a disappointing ending, if I'm honest with you.
He had a blue line taxi left running on the meter, though, Marlon Harewood.
Ah, that's better. Time. That's all right.
And he says it is super cheap in Newcastle, so it probably cost about a tenner. Great work. Thanks, Jamie.
I don't even remember Marlon Harewood playing for Newcastle.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
Right, okay. He must have been on loan or something.
Yeah, he was.
Always good to hear from him, though.
I think Ben Arthur scored a wonder goal where he like took it round everybody. And I think Marlon Harewood was waiting for the pass at every moment.
Love that.
But Ben Arthur was rinsing every defender possible and the keeper.
There was a kid at my school who scored an amazing goal. I think it was at Gosport Boroughs ground, Privet Park. Mm. And he went on amazing. As yep. Marcus was saying, in and out of Dusty Bluebell. Went through the whole thing, scored. Mm. And it was on VHS video. Someone had camcordered it. Mm. And then obviously in the same VHS video, it was a cup final, so they came up to get their medal. And no word of a lie, everyone was congratulating him for his goal and he got man of the match and all this other stuff. And caught on video was one of the other players' dad going up to him. And you thought he's going to congratulate him and he gets caught on camera saying, "It's a good job you scored that because my son was wide open."
Yeah.
Yeah. That is youth football all over that.
If you want to get to the show, shotthefootballramble.com.
There we go.
.com. Scotland have lost twice in the international break.
Is it fair to say, Marcus, that every time we record, we can generally assume that in the interim period, Scotland have lost twice?
Under McLeish, yes. Yeah. I think that's fair to say. Yeah, they lost to Israel 2-1. And I was thinking Israel, you know, it was 10 years ago when they had actually a sort of respectable
side. They're a poor side now, aren't they?
They're 94th in the world. Mm-hmm. And they really should have won by more. I mean, it was quite a one-sided game. I know Scotland took the lead and they had a man sent off, but...
And that was cheap as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, that makes no difference now.
They don't look good at the moment. McLeish has told his players to cut out the stupid errors after there was a few made against Portugal as well.
He said, did we ever say we were at a level where we should be qualifying for major tournaments? We've not said that. Mm. Yeah, because it would be a fucking weird thing to say, mate.
But I think
it would be insanity.
It would just be wrong.
If you are going to get in a manager like McLeish, when you are making such a bold, fresh appointment, like their ideas are going to take a while to settle in, aren't they?
I've heard he's very, very detailed. He'll overload the players with information. But the Israel performance was a really poor performance. And for those who haven't seen it, I think Israel had 25 shots.
Yeah.
And the Lions' share of possession, and as you said, Marcus, absolutely rightly, they're a poor team now. The Portugal...
Alan McGregor played well in goal.
He was in the spotlight.
Yeah, really poor own goal from Tierney as well.
It was. Like, it was one
really
of those
no
days.
No danger there. Absolutely. Yeah.
But the Portugal return, the game when they played, it was at Hampden, I think, Portugal. They played at
Hampden. Yes, Hampden, it was, yeah.
I watched that game. And I actually thought for the first 45 or so
they
minutes.
They did all right.
It was a response. They certainly gave a response. And Darren Fletcher, I think, was doing the punditry. I haven't got it in front of me, but I believe Portugal scored just before half time. Mm-hmm. And Darren Fletcher said in the half time punditry, which I completely agreed with, it's really annoying because if we had got into a 0-0, I would have said this game's here for the taking because it absolutely was for Scotland. They were doing okay. Then, of course, because they're so fragile on confidence and I guess they were thinking about that performance against Israel, they just buckled really and then they were beaten quite handsomely in the end. But, you know, Jim's alluded to it. And I don't want to be too harsh, but if you're high McLeish, that's just what it is. And they missed an opportunity. They could have got Walter Smith back and they didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Even then, though, is that not too much of looking into the past? They
possibly
need to address the fact that, you know.
Well, Marcus knows more about Scottish football than me, but I know for a fact the SFA were in contact with Walter Smith and they dilly-dallied and Walter Smith pulled out.
I also know that SFA are incompetent.
Right, there we go.
You know, I mean, they're a football association who aren't, I suppose, but...
No, true.
Yeah, they don't cover themselves in glory.
But do you think Walter... I know it's hard to say, but would Walter Smith be doing more with this team, do you think?
Well, I think Walter Smith is a better manager and has been over the years, although he hasn't managed for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it was kind of like, oh, I can't believe you didn't appoint Walter Smith. I think that everybody, or a lot of people... thought that McLeish was a poor appointment at the time, and it's proving to be so. I mean, okay, he might turn it round. It's unlikely. I mean, McLeish nearly got Scotland to a major tournament, of course, not that long ago. And his first spell in charge of Scotland was pretty good. It was quite impressive. You could argue they had a better side back then. But it seemed like a drab appointment at the time. McLeish's body language and what he's saying is not anything to go by. The mood is down. It seems quite miserable. And you just think, the writing seemed to be on the wall before he'd even been given the job.
It's nice to have one of those results that in, 5 years' time, when they're better, they can sort of look back and sort of said, look at us 5 years ago. We were getting beaten in a competitive match against Israel.
And now we've got Alex McLeish back.
And now Alex McLeish has been in the job for 6 years and his ideas are finally starting to sink in. And we're only conceding one a match.
Well, it's going to take longer than that to fix because, as we know, it's very much a genetic problem.
We go on the track. Actually, perhaps a manager that they missed out on that's more worthy of mention is Michael O'Neill, who I know Northern Ireland were beaten last time out, but he was strongly linked.
Lives in Edinburgh.
Yeah, it lives in Edinburgh. And he has shown that a team can be more than the sum of its parts. Can, if they put their egos to one side and work really hard. He had hardly any professionals to work with at Northern Ireland. And he showed that they can not only qualify for a major tournament, but actually not disgrace themselves as well.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers was fancy at home in a few years?
Okay.
It's unlikely. by the way, and just to add another little stat in there, Israel have only beaten Liechtenstein and Andorra at home since 2014, obviously Scotland as well. So just to back it up, that really was quite a poor one.
So Scotland need to win their next two, don't they?
They're really away to Albania. And that was a good win against the stubborn side, and then Israel at home next month.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can get something against Albania, suddenly it would look a little bit more rosy, but they need something, without a doubt. It's not looking too good there. Wales lost 4-1 at home to Spain, and they play Ireland in the big one tomorrow night. I mean, Spain, it just, you got to hold your hands up there. I mean, it was interesting when Vokes scored right at the end, there was a little actual celebration in the crowd. Whereas Naismith, it was a bit of a, oh, thank goodness we did something. Yeah. It was kind of like, yes, we've scored against a far superior side. And actually, those little moments can mean a little something. It's not completely out of the question to say that the players might not get a lift. You know, they managed to score against a really top side. I know that sounds slightly patronising, but you see what I mean? And we might be saying the same thing about England on Thursday.
Yeah, be careful with your comments, guys.
Scotland got to half-time against Portugal.
Why shouldn't they celebrate a goal against Spain? I mean, I don't think it's a small team mentality at all. Wales, no, they're not as good as Spain. They're probably, not in our lifetime, but in the foreseeable future, they're probably not going to be as good as Spain, and it's a difficult game for them. And Sam Vokes should be rightly proud of scoring again.
Yeah, and also it shows the moment that Wales are in terms of how much the fans are behind the team,
yes,
and that they do really actually believe, and they've had some recent successes to enjoy it. So you're always going to be a little bit more vocal.
What did you think of the stadium chat coming out of this one? Because the game was played at the Principality Stadium, formerly known as the Millennium Stadium, caused a little controversy because Wales haven't played there since 2011, and they found quite a happy home at the Cardiff City Stadium, which is smaller but creates a bit more of a better atmosphere, like that cauldron effect. Jim, or are you worried where Wales might play at home next?
I can't say I lose a lot of sleep about it. But obviously those Welsh fans know their own. They know their own routines more than anybody, don't they? Mm-hmm. But I think the Millennium Stadium, as it used to be known, it's a big old place. So if they think that Cardiff has a Cardiff City Stadium, if they think that has a better atmosphere, then, I mean, the Welsh FA have to think about that, don't they? Have to listen to that.
The Welsh, history of where they play is actually quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Andy Brassel does a show called At The Match, and he spoke to a guy, I think his name's Russell Todd, who's not a big cheese, but certainly involved in the Welsh fans, sort of situation.
Just a cheese.
And just a cheese. Yeah.
A Welsh
just,
rare bit of a cheese.
Just a carefully. Yeah. And he said that the most games that Wales have actually played is at the Racecourse Ground at Wrexham. Mm. That's their traditional home. Ah. But the Racecourse Ground now isn't seen as being...
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it isn't seen as being big enough now for international football or safe enough or passing all the tests and everything like that. Mm. And he implied that a lot of Wales fans would actually quite like to play at the Racehorse Ground again at Wrexham.
But I would politely say to that, you have to move on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. They've got some great stadiums already, haven't they? Yeah. So they don't need... it's up to them, isn't it, what they want to do. But the Cardiff City Stadium definitely has got a better atmosphere. And I don't know enough about this, but I suspect because Spain were coming to town, they thought, we'll get a few quid here if we make it in a bigger stadium. So maybe it was something to do with that. Maybe anyway, they got battered.
So they did. They're playing Ireland, though, as we say. Gareth Bale's going to miss that match due to injury, which is a blow. It's a positive for Ireland. It's a blow for Wales. But it still should be quite a good one. I mean, Ireland, they played Denmark, and they need to... They did really need to beat Wales to kind of avoid relegation, I suppose.
I love we're talking about that in international football. Mm.
Yeah, you might not for love now. It though, you know, in the coming days with old England. But it wasn't too inspiring in one sense that Ireland drawing with Denmark, but a clean sheet against a better side. I mean, not a hugely better side. Obviously, Eriksen. You realise how people know how important Eriksen is to Denmark, but it was affirmed even more due to his absence, of course. So. You know, a clean sheet's always a positive, but Ireland, they didn't create too much.
That setup is an Escher painting at the moment, though. So, I mean, getting anything out of a match is pretty positive.
Yeah, so I think Ireland going into the game against Wales, you would have to say that due to that 4-1 the other week, whenever it was when Wales battered them, you'd have to say Wales are favourites for this one. And Ireland, it's the lack of goals, really, that's happening. I mean, I thought the most intriguing thing from the match was that Fulham right back Cyrus Christie was popping up in the centre of the pitch.
Yeah, he tried to do that against Arsenal, to be fair.
Yeah, well, that's because he was scared.
He wasn't told to do it. Yeah.
He's not played there for 10 years, he said.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is incredible.
No wonder he was confused.
Yeah, I think every Irish player wants to play in the midfield because it's farther away from Roy Keane on the touchline. Yeah. Just get me away from him.
Pack the midfield so he can't tell us apart.
Martin O'Neill's just saying, look, we're fucked. Let's just have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, that's
a bit
it.
Of fun with it.
I don't know. You never.
Roy Keane put bear traps down the flanks.
He did. Well, and Arthur fell into one, didn't he? In the first few minutes, he went down injured. Jeff Hendrick tried to nip in and score. Caused a bit of controversy. But there we go. Luckily, he missed. Otherwise, he's got lynched by Schmeichel, I think. He goes furious, damn it all. But there we are. At Northern Ireland, they lost away against Austria. It's another one for the Northern Irish, isn't it, where they fought hard. It was Johnny Evans thought it was offside.
It looked. I thought that. I've got that in my notes. I saw the highlights of this game. And to me, I thought that's going to be pulled back for offside. And then on the replay, it looked very, very tight.
Yeah.
I would have flagged for that if I was at the guys. I thought it was offside.
Yeah, exactly. So a close one, and Arnautovic is on the end of it. That's not who you want to be on the end of it if you're the opposition.
He had a chance earlier on as well. Didn't
exactly.
He always looked like he'd make
that was a lovely move as well. Yeah. That was really nice.
Stephen Davis had a chance.
It was one of those chances where he screwed it so wide that you can't really even tell what went wrong.
Yeah,
like
I know what
everything
you mean.
Went wrong at once, and that showed in his reaction to it as well.
I know. And then Will Grigg.
I thought it was one of those chances where you thought, oh yeah, Stephen Davis is old, isn't he? It took him quite a long while to get there.
Yeah.
And then, but he sort of fought his way through rather than outpaced the
that's
one.
That's right. Yeah. And then Will Grigg hitting the post.
Yeah.
It's gutting because, like we say, they've had two losses against at home against Bosnia Herzegovina and now away to Austria. And
tough group, though.
It is a tough group. On another day, sorry to keep saying it, Northern Ireland fans.
But I think the Nations League has come along in terms of seeding at quite a difficult time for Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Because I think we'd all agree for over the last few years, they've probably played above their level, which has meant they've got a difficult group here.
Mm-hmm.
They might settle down into the league, the league below, and then maybe find themselves building up a bit more momentum. Because that's a tough old group, that.
It is, and they're not scoring. They haven't scored in their last five matches.
They never scored a huge amount of goals anyway, did they, to be fair?
They never, but Will Grigg, he's pulled out of the squad due to injury. Mm. Carl Lafferty withdrew, wasn't it midnight or something before the game or something? Or when they were due to go away, it was a bit of a strange one. So two of their players that you would think might have a little bit of a goal threat aren't there. So they're against Bosnia-Herzegovina away tonight, and the pressure's on them. You wouldn't fancy their chances too much with a lack of goals and a lack of forwards. But there we are.
Mm.
We wish them all the best. Right, after the ad break, we're going to go to another British side, I suppose, and the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment.
And I give it to you. You can copy it and then you go to Big Sam and maybe he can give a good interpretation.
Oh, I forgot that one.
Yeah, it's a Louis van Gaal special. I love it.
Because the Dutch beat the Germans
3-0. Have a bit of that.
Right, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. Luke, how did our best better get on?
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, quite badly.
Yeah.
England to win and both teams to score.
Yeah.
0-0.
None of that happened.
No. And he was friends with Andy Duncan as well. So as Jim rightly pointed out last week, I imagine they had quite an interesting water cooler moment this morning. Yeah. There we go.
Jim.
Office banter.
Where do you do your chats? Like, yeah. In your office?
We've got a water cooler in here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Stand around there. No one turns up, but I just stand there. And after a while, I really need a piss.
Oh, there's another water cooler we all use around the corner.
Oh, that water. No. It's got beer in it.
There we are. We need a new better.
Yes, we need a new better. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line to make it easier for Mr. Pete Daunton sat over there to my left.
Make sure it's in the subject line, okay?
Yeah.
Don't mess around. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, there was a British side, if you will, who won. And it was Gibraltar.
Big news.
Oh, what a win for The Rock. They won away in Armenia. And they are nicknamed Team 54.
Right.
Because they became the 54th UEFA member, much to the ire of Spain, of course. The first competitive win in their five-year footballing history. They'd won two internationals previously against Malta and Latvia, but they were just friendlies, guys. This is the real thing. They have more wins in the UEFA Nations League than England.
Can Mkhitaryan do it all himself? No, he can't.
I know. Well, this is the thing. You know, they have beaten a side which include an Arsenal player, and some other players.
McCoyan won't be getting a move to Arsenal anytime soon. He had an absolute stinker. Yeah. He did one of those penalties that he gave away where he can't control the ball properly. Someone nips in and you just take him out. Yeah. It's a Sunday League special.
It is.
But he also did the thing where he's so embarrassed by that that he immediately just lashes out at his own players beside him.
Yeah.
He was annoyed at everybody. But the captain, Joseph Cipollina.
Oh, two Cipollinas at centre-half.
Come on.
Like Cipollina Coladas.
Yeah. Yeah, love that. Cipollina brothers, I presume.
Yeah.
They've also got Liam Walker, who...
Liam Walker, ex-Pompey.
He is ex-Pompey and has the infamy of being a part of the Pompey side, a Portsmouth side, around 2012-13.
Uh-huh. I thought you were going to stop at a Portsmouth side.
No, yeah, that would be enough under ordinary circumstances, Jim. But this point is unfortunate for you because they are top of the league at the moment. So
it is unfortunate, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, you could have said that at any other time in history and you would have been fine. But he was part of... And I think I'm right in saying he signed for Portsmouth under Michael Appleton, who signed him because he saw him play for Gibraltar and thought, oh, he looks quite good.
That's brilliant. He played
for us for a bit, but obviously that season Portsmouth came bottom of League One, points deduction. It was like a revolving door. It was an awful time to play. But I have to say, when I saw that, I was quite proud of him.
Yeah, well, he's their most capped player in their
I think he might be their joint top scorer as well.
32, yeah. So
two goals.
You've got...
It is with two.
It is Jake Gosling. Yeah. He's also on two goals. And Lee Cassiaro, I think it's pronounced, on two goals.
Is that, I don't know if you actually know this, but is that right now or of all time?
Of all time.
Yeah. They've only been going for 5 years.
Yeah.
They're the smallest member of UEFA in terms of area and population, Jim.
Yeah, have a brilliant.
About 32,000.
Having a pop at the little man over there. Of all time. Pompey, Gibraltar.
Have you said that any other time, Jim?
Oh, Stan Kroenke over there. I'll tell you who's a character, Carl Godwin. Godwin, the keeper in goal. Yeah.
He's only played in the Gibraltar leagues, I think.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think you're right. Yeah.
And he looked like, at one point, he made some great saves, and at other times, he looked very spilly.
He celebrated every single save. Oh, and there was one late on where...
It's an away clean sheet. Any team is happy with that.
There was a save late on, which came from distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quite nicely struck, but it was looping. I thought you could have caught that. And he absolutely... cameraed it over the bar and he got up and started pumping his fist.
Oh man,
there we go.
So good, but yeah, what a win for them. It's absolutely marvellous.
They'll be in England's group before we're on.
You'd suspect so. Liechtenstein's national anthem was mistakenly played before the match as the teams lined up. It should have been Gibraltar's one, of course. Maybe that spurred them on, Pete.
Well, they've got two national anthems. They've got the God Save the Queen, but they've also got the kind of like...
Here it is.
A territorial anthem.
You just had that to hand, did you?
Gibraltar, the rock on which I stand.
It's not
did you learn this or the lyrics coming up?
May you,
you
be forever free, Gibraltar, my own land.
This isn't the new Going for Gold theme.
Mighty pillar, rock of splendor, guardian of the sea. Port of hope in times of need, rich in history.
There we are.
Talk about, have they got anything about the apes on the rock?
Written by a man, Peter Emberley, who is not a Gibraltarian.
Glold.
I love the fact that they are the only, I mean, they are a British side, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a British overseas territory.
So, but you can call them one of the British sides?
A bot-bot.
They've won the game. So,
They're
a lovely bot-bot.
They're a lovely little rock.
Let's ask Sergio Ramos what he thinks.
He would have an opinion, though, wouldn't he? Old Mr. Spain over there.
Yeah. There we go.
But leave off that rock. Right, well done to Gibraltar. Excellent stuff, chaps. Keeping your side of the bargain. Let's go to the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, WhatsApp group. I've got to press this button.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. What's up first?
We start with Serbia. Now, we're not going to talk about Mitro's two goals in a lovely win away to Montenegro.
Because if we had done that, it would have been in the main running order.
It would have been in the main running
order. And I didn't hear it, did you?
Oh, I thought it.
And the running order would have Marcus' saliva all over it.
It would.
And my tears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
indeed.
Which would have mixed in quite a heady brew.
And then Jim
would have drunk it to keep his strength up.
Salty.
I want to talk about Tadic's penalty miss against Romania.
Oh, it was a doozy, wasn't it?
What was he doing?
Tippy slipper.
He did that daft little run. And when someone does that run, there is a bit of satisfaction when they miss the target.
I don't care how crap your run is up. You should still hit the target.
Definitely.
You're a professional footballer.
I think more so, that run, it really makes me laugh. It's like, you know, when you're in a really, really busy situation, like you're on the tube or somewhere comparably busy and you're in a rush and you're trying to walk at the pace that you would like to be walking at and then sort of go, actually, there's no point in me walking like this.
Yeah.
I might as well just slow down.
It's Grant Holt's
finisher.
Now I'm
going to hit a penalty.
Yeah.
It's Grant Holt's finisher in that wrestling match.
But yes, it's a bit. I watched it and thought, God, I wish he still played for Southampton.
Well, it is interesting because if you look at the Riyad Mahrez one, whenever a penalty goes over the bar, it always looks really bad. In fact, if you miss the target, obviously it looks really bad. But when you look back, you can sometimes see that it's just over the bar.
The great example of that is Chris Waddles in Italian 90. Waddle, yeah. It's only about an inch over the bar.
Yeah, it's very, very close. But of course, it looks awful.
If it's over the bar, it might as well have been space, though.
Exactly. And often you hear, oh, he hit it high and wide. Well, often it's just high. You watch this penalty, it's nowhere near
he
the target.
He floated it high and wide.
Yeah, it's properly high and wide and by a fair distance, you know, for a player of his quality in such a game. Yeah. Like, weird.
In a way, you could go, that penalty, that had nothing.
Yeah. And if he had any dignity, he'd have looked immediately down at the penalty spot and thought, oh, is that a ground?
Or just looked over the bench and go, sub me off.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just walked out the stadium. But unlike him, a certain man down under can put the ball in the back of the net. It's Usain Bolt.
I wanted to put this in because Usain Bolt actually scored two goals, admittedly in a friendly, and the second one was a defensive mix-up par excellence.
Hey, you've got to be in there.
Pete, for those who didn't see it and can't possibly fathom what a Usain Bolt goal would have been like, describe the first one.
First one, he outpaced a defender, man. Because he is the world's fastest man.
I love this.
He's literally the fastest man to ever live. Imagine you know when you used to play...
You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you, if he didn't?
You play Saturdays or Sundays or whatever, and you always have that thing, especially if you had a couple of beers the night before, and you look over and you think, oh, they look quite good.
Yeah.
Imagine Usain Bolt up front against you.
I know. I'd like to think Usain Bolt saying to the manager, how do you want me to play up front? Because he's up front, I'm guessing.
Off the shoulder.
Off the wing, surely.
Yeah.
But you'd say, do you want me dropping short and getting the... No.
No.
Right up there, son.
Channels.
Shoulder of the last man.
Can you imagine the other team, though? Triple A high line? Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
But to me, that's interesting, because if there is a... I don't watch the A-League, you'll be surprised to hear, but if there is a side
improving it.
No, but if there is a side who like to play a high line and maybe like to squeeze the play and like to bully teams and all the rest of it, against those boys, they won't be able to do it.
Yeah, but the thing, what I like about Usain Bolt, and I've kind of followed his stuff a little bit. Remember he was on trials, it wasn't Wolfsburg, was it? It was some German
team.
He's had a few trials. But they did like a kind of like a basically a PR day where they did like an open training session.
Yeah.
But they played with a half pitch, so he couldn't really get up to speed. It was a ridiculous shooting thing. You play with a full pitch, you can really open his legs up a little bit.
I mean,
his touch is so bad that it slows him down and makes him look slower than he is, and it's sad, really.
He's got weird.
Use his pace to get himself out of trouble.
He's 32, you know. He's going to be losing his pace sooner or later.
He started off saying he wanted to play for Man United, didn't he?
Yeah,
that was a big shout, and that's obviously never going to happen. But I have to say, his first goal was a nice finish.
He scored two goals.
He hit it.
He scored two goals.
I do love the idea of players transferring from different sports just to see how much that works.
Well, Victoria Pemberton did it. She moved from cycling, of course, where she's a multiple Olympic champion, to horse riding,
right?
To horse racing, basically.
Yeah,
and it's like a big flashy bike, isn't it?
Exactly. She came fifth in the Fox Hunters Chase at Cheltenham, which is actually bloody impressive.
Decent,
and if you watch, just to finish the race would have been an amazing achievement. But if you watch the race back, she could have won it. She actually could have won it, and it would have been. And the jockeys saying, incredible achievement, because it's such a difficult thing to do.
And how much is being a professional sportsman about mentality, though?
Oh, it's definitely
obviously, there are transferable skills like that, aren't there?
The Pendleton one, sorry, Max, Pendleton one, she hadn't sat on a horse, I don't think, up until a year before it, and she built up to it.
What about Paolo Maldini?
Paolo Maldini's tennis career, yeah.
I mean, he lost a mixed doubles game, and that was his only professional game.
It was a doubles game.
Okay, right.
And they got hammered. But
blame the other guy.
But the thing is, though, with Maldini, he did it quite late on. He didn't do it straight after. Yeah, exactly. Grant Holt. Football to wrestling. And he won it, didn't he?
Daley Thompson became a footballer for a bit, didn't he?
Did he?
Oh, that rings a bell.
I don't remember that.
Someone who does say that to the system, Sir Ian Botham. He went from football to cricket. He played for, I think, Scunthorpe or Scarborough or something.
Right. Yeah.
Apparently,
I think
Diego Forlanes was a very talented tennis player, but opted for football.
That's right. That was because he's got, I think, a disabled sister, and he realised that a football career would be more lucrative for him to help her out.
You have to be at the top table in tennis. You have to be like one of about 10 people.
Yeah.
Kevin Keegan went from football to the luge. Nothing went badly.
No, it's cycling.
No, I know. Yeah. Imagine him doing that.
The metal hot.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a picture of a Kevin Keegan football manager, SNES cartridge, or SNES for the Americans. It doesn't actually have his face anywhere on the camera.
He probably chose that. For the Japanese, Super Famicom.
Very good. Good note to end on, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. The preview show, of course, is out on Thursday. We look forward to entertaining you there, chatting about an England game.
If not performance.
Yeah. Prefer that one to be closed. Behind closed doors.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
All right, bye.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Say goodbye, Peter.
See you later, guys.
Lovely to have you back. Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye from me, too.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.